And aloha. Welcome to Talk Story, the longest running talk show on Maui. I think Peter's got us on Facebook Live.
I do.
Hi, Peter Liu.
Hi.
He's marketing director for MAPA, and I am so happy to have Danielle Delaney.
Yes.
A beautiful French name, who's the lead. She plays Esmeralda, a very romantic role with a bit of sauce and spice, because she's the gypsy in The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yes.
And you have some French background. Your great-grandmother?
Great-grandfather.
Was from France.
From Paris, yes.
Think about that. Must have been an interesting time around the turn of the century.
It was an interesting time.
Wow.
And he actually got on a boat and was a stowaway, and they discovered him, and then they took him to Panama and made him work at the Panama Canal.
Oh, my gosh.
And then he went and made his way to the border of Mexico and Texas and married a Aztec Indian woman.
You do have that. If you can't see, but if you go to Facebook, I guess that's on Peter's site, or is that on the MAPA site?
It's on the Hunchback event page.
Oh, the Hunchback page. Well, you can see how lovely Esmeralda is. I'm going to call you Esmeralda.
Yes.
We are now in the Esmeralda
Perfect. That sounds great.
Esmeralda gets to wear some lovely costumes, and I found out that the costumes are being made from scratch and designed by a new costume designer.
Yes.
It must be so exciting.
It's really exciting. She's incredible. Every time I go into the costume room, it's a magical experience.
Mm.
So I don't want to give anything away, but you will definitely want to see the costumes this year. They're spectacular. The gargoyles.
I love the gargoyles.
And all of the gypsies with the chains and the gold, and it's amazing.
Oh, gay. Gary's here. Yay.
Hello.
I'm so glad. Gary. With this lovely voice, because Gary is the musical director, and Gary Levitt has done the music with the MAPA performances so often, and not only that, he's very involved in the whole music community, and it would help if we turn your microphone facing your face. That always helps, right?
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
You're looking good.
Thank you.
How's everything going?
It's going really, really well. It's a very exciting time.
Isn't it? Oh, I was just talking to Danielle about the music here. It's actually very exciting music, and I don't know, per se, the music that much, but we're talking a little bit of the background of The Hunchback, because it was made into a Disney cartoon movie, and Danielle has two children, and so I guess, you know, they relate to you from the cartoon standpoint, probably, right? More than the movie, you know?
Yes.
Although it's been done, I found out, twice as a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really realize that Selma Hayek had played the role of Esmeralda. That was in 1994.
Yes.
And the famous one that I even remember way back when, because it was so great, was the one in the
1939 with Charles Laughton.
Charles Laughton was amazing. He was the Hunchback, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was. That's the quintessential one. Mm-hmm. Although it's the quintessential film version, it's probably the furthest away from the original source material.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I rewatched it
the other day just for the heck of it, because I love Charles Laughton. And
yeah.
I went, wow, they really diverged from the original storyline with this. But yeah.
Well, you probably read all of them, seen all of the versions, and you know, you've been rehearsing and doing the work for months and months, but we're less than a month out, so it's time to where the nerves start getting up and adrenaline, because August 25th through the 27th is the opening weekend, and then there's a following weekend, September 1st through the 3rd. It is a week pushback from when typically the MAPA shows.
True.
Have been, so it's a little later in the season, but it's always a highlight of the summer, the MAPA performances on the big stage there. And the thing that's always nice is the huge cast. I mean, there's so many people involved in these performances. You see all of the MAPA stage just full of these costumes and people and this energy. And I have to say, you do a fantastic job, Gary.
Why, thank you. Thank you very much.
The chorus is always mind-boggling fantastic. I mean, you know, this isn't just like, you get the people up on stage. And these people are, you work them hard, don't you?
I do. And I'm a tough taskmaster. Mm-hmm. I really am. With this show, we're very, very fortunate, and it's a little bit different this year. The ensemble that you're going to see on stage doing all the action is actually smaller than you've seen in years past. And part of the reason for that is a unique thing to this show is the required installation of an onstage choir, which is separate from the ensemble.
Now, that'd be like they were the choir at Notre Dame?
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
They represent, you know, sort of like the Greek chorus passing judgment on everything that's going on and
oh,
helping,
really?
As well as moving the storyline along in a narrative fashion as well.
Oh.
And so we're in previous years, we may have had 45 to 50 people in the ensemble.
Uh-huh.
We only have about 28 in the ensemble right now.
That's still a lot.
But we have another 38 people in this onstage choir.
Wow.
And they're basically installed as part of the set, which is really exciting.
I hear the set's a massive set.
Well, you know, if we're going to embody the awesome, as in old world, awesome spectacle and grandeur of what is Notre Dame, the set is going to be reflective of that. And so I think Jamie has done an amazing job of envisioning and then and bringing to life this wonderful view of what it must be like to be inside that building.
Oh, who makes that stained glass window? That's what, I mean, how do you make a stained glass window like the window at Notre Dame? That you've been there, right, Danielle?
Yes.
It's, have you been there, Gary?
I have not.
That stained glass window has the most beautiful shades of purple and blue, and it shines down on the ground as you walk through it, and you stand in the shadows of this stained glass, and it just it has this amazing aura of energy as the light comes through that stained glass, and it just dominates the entire area of the center part of the cathedral.
Yeah.
There's a similar window at St. Bartholomew's in New York City, and I've worked in St. Bart's and St. Patrick's in New York, and you get some of that kind of a feel to it. Of course, Notre Dame is sort of, you know,
The queen,
literally,
yeah.
Of all of them, but to some lesser degree, you do see that, and they've done an amazing job in bringing that to life, and having the choir basically three stories high.
Wow.
In the back of this thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
They're going to be piled three deep.
Oh my.
And then they're also going to come out onto the sides of the apron of the stage as well.
Oh my.
You know where the orchestra pit falls in the front.
Uh-huh.
There will be orchestra members choir members on the sides as well, up on top.
Wow.
So it's really going to be an enveloping immersive experience.
Wow.
Which is going to be great.
Well, we haven't, I told Danielle I'd let you lay the foundation. There may be people who may not know the plot of The Hunchback of Notre Dame, and it's a very interesting drama, and you, as Esmeralda, get to be loved by four men. Is that correct? Three men. You have,
yes.
You have your love interest.
Yes, Captain Phoebus.
Captain Phoebus, and he's the captain of the guard?
Yes.
Okay. And then there's the priest.
Yes.
Played by Will.
The archdeacon.
The archdeacon, yes. Who he gets to play kind of the villain, doesn't he?
Oh, clearly.
Clearly.
Yes.
And he is in love with you.
Yes.
And then you also have Quasimodo in love with you. So here you're blushing. Three.
I am.
I know. three men loving you. That's got to be feeling great. So, but you have to be very careful because you play a key role here, obviously, in this entire drama. Give us a setup of how this unfolds.
Yes. Well, in this particular version of the story, Quasimodo is raised by Frollo, who is the archdeacon of Notre Dame, and he is the bell ringer. And I arrive in Paris and find the Gypsy clan, and there's a big festival called the Feast of Fools, and Quasimodo decides to go out into the world for the first time, you know, leaving the confines of his bell tower, and decides to explore, and I see him on the street, and I encourage him to join the festivities. And, you know, people know who he is, but no one had ever seen him before.
They know he's the bell ringer from how? From up in the tower?
Yes.
They've seen him in the tower.
Yes, and I think that there's been, you know, sort of rumors and stories.
That there's a strange bell ringer with a hunchback.
Yes, exactly, And so, but this is the first time that anyone has ever seen him.
And does he know he's going to get in trouble? Because he's not really supposed to be out wandering around, right?
He does know that he's going to get in trouble, yes. But I don't know if he doesn't really know how the people would react, I think, because he had never really encountered people.
He's kind of really purely innocent.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Definitely.
And, you know, I kind of put him out there, too. I think, you know, he's trying to kind of hide and stay in the back and just see what's going on, and he's very overwhelmed by this whole scene. And I kind of sort of nudge him to the front, and then, you know, it kind of goes bad from there, to put it lightly.
It goes south from there.
And
does the priest, Frollo, does he find out?
He does find out. Yes, he finds out, and Quasimodo goes back to his bell tower.
Which is kind of like a prison for him.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then I show up, and, you know, I feel very badly about the whole thing that transpired.
Well, you're beautiful, and he is considered very ugly at the time. Because he's got the hunchback and he's deformed in that context. And also there was a lot of judgment in that time.
Yes.
And, oh, absolutely.
And still is. Mm-hmm. There still is judgment, just not as verbalized. But we still judge people by their looks.
And it goes deeper than just judgment. It's pure fear.
Mm-hmm.
Because at this point, especially in the earlier days of the church, there was a lot of superstition involved. And so somebody with that type of a malady, of that deformity, there is something otherworldly wrong with
mm-hmm.
him.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just that, how sad, he's got a hump.
Yeah.
You know, it's God has twisted
punished him.
Punished him
for a reason.
Or he's actually a demon
Devil,
himself.
Yes.
Although when you read the original novels, the one who they think is the demon actually is Frollo. He's referred to as the demon of Notre Dame.
Oh, really?
So you've got all of that going on.
And then, of course, you have the parallels of the gargoyles. All over these amazing gargoyles. So
exactly.
You have gargoyles and you have...
A living one.
And a living one right there.
Yes.
So you weren't put off by his looks.
No, I mean, I think that, you know, I am a compassionate character, and I have traveled a lot and seen some very horrible things, and I am not seduced by the church.
Mm-hmm.
I am a gypsy, and so I live a different life.
By the church, you'd be considered sinful.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
She's a naughty girl.
Yes.
So again, having the priest, Frollo, in love with you then makes that temptation of him having the forbidden fruit even stronger.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And actually, you know, in his mind, it's my fault that he lusts after me.
Oh, it's your fault
because
you're the devil.
Over him.
Oh, okay.
It's my black magic.
And you are aware of all this, so what do you do?
Yes, well, I defy him, and I don't succumb to his requests and what happens, and I don't want to spoil it too much.
You do have a lovely song you sang a few bars before we began.
Yes.
This actually wasn't done in the movie version.
In the cartoon, no,
in the cartoon
was not,
version,
yes.
And it's really beautiful.
It is a beautiful song.
Now, just a little background on you. You played in Evita. You played the mistress in Evita.
Yes.
You have a lovely voice. You've taken a break. To have the children and raise the children, take some time off, married, and get out and do that. And so after all that break, you're back now in this role.
Yes.
So it was a few years away.
Yes.
And you're back again and singing and looking fabulous. And
thank you.
With the help of family and friends, you're able to do the intensive, and it is rather intensive work and schedule.
Yes.
You have to work with Gary, of course.
Oh, yes.
Sorry.
Because there's not only the chorus you have to work with, but there's the orchestra.
Oh yes, we have an amazing 18-piece live orchestra that we'll be using for the show. And over the last few years, as I've been doing this, we've really honed it down to the A team of the best players on Maui. So we've got the best people, and we even, in fact, have some people coming in from as far as Canada and Oregon to play in this orchestra.
You tempted them.
You
got to be here. And I have to say, the music is always mind-blowing. It is so good.
They're wonderful people.
Well, we don't have the choir, and we don't have the orchestra, and you are a cappella.
Yes.
But there's this lovely song, and it's kind of haunting. And it give us the basis of the song, why the song, what the role is in this song.
So, you know, it becomes apparent that Esmeralda, you know, hopes for a better world and wishes things could have transpired differently in the show than where they end up when she sings this song. Again, I don't want to give too much away. But she, you know, she comes to a realization that she has faith in humanity and in the world and in everybody around her, that one day the world will be a better place and we will find it in our hearts to be compassionate and loving and kind
sounds like
to each other. And although so she might not have that experience in her lifetime, she knows that her faith, you know, that is the root of her faith.
In a way, I couldn't help but think of West Side Story of Somewhere, mm-hmm. Someday, you know, that yeah. beautiful song in West Side Story.
Yeah.
So sing, hum a few bars.
Okay,
sing a bit.
So this song is called Someday. And someday when we are wiser, when the world's older, when we have learned, I pray someday we may yet live to live and let live.
You have a beautiful voice. Bravo. Lovely.
Thank
lovely
you.
My gosh, that's so beautiful. It, you know, how do we balance the acting and the singing? Because the singing is so key. The acting is really key. There's the drama, but you can't let one note go wrong. Mm-hmm. Hi, Rena. You can't let anything go wrong.
Right.
Because if you create one note wrong, it distracts from the other, right? So your key role as the music director is really important.
It is. It's interesting. One of the beauties of the way we work when we do these shows is having the three of us, David and Andre and I, working as a really unified team to make it all happen. And David has the overarching vision of the show, and
yes.
he's such a genius in making that happen. And then he looks to Andre and I to help visualize that,
mm-hmm.
both visually and orally.
Mm-hmm.
And
Andre, for people we're talking
about, Andre
is an amazing choreographer. And David, and I've talked to Peter about this just the other day, about how they spend hours mm-hmm. making sure the flow
yes.
is seamless. And this is one thing that kind of is unique to
the
MAPA shows,
yes.
is that you do not have the blackout.
You don't
do the curtain down.
No.
You just have this seamless flow of energy and things
exactly.
moving right on stage that everyone has to work with in that.
We don't want people to be pulled out of the story by having a blackout happen and a scene change. Once the show starts, once the story begins, we really want you to be immersed in that. And so sometimes, you know, we have to add some other music from other sections of the show to create these sort of transitions
uh-huh.
to make these things seamless, because they're not necessarily originally written that way.
Yeah.
And so what we do is we borrow from other parts of the show and then fill in some spots so that we can create this beautiful choreography of scenery
uh-huh.
that Andre is famous for, and that's making these wonderful big huge set pieces dance across the
mm-hmm,
stage and
mm-hmm.
morph from one visualization into another, from the inside of the cathedral to being outdoors at the cathedral, or
mm-hmm.
to being in Quasimodo's chambers at the top of the bell tower. And all this happens in a very seamless fashion, and that's all part of David's vision of making it just hum by.
Mm.
So then from a musical standpoint, you know, I try to not only work with these wonderful people who are so amazingly talented, and then try to make sure that they're not just singing the songs, but that we tap into the underlying emotional realities as to where is the character coming from, and
mm-hmm.
how do we then present that vocally in what they're doing. And since we're treating the choir as another member of the ensemble, as another cast member, just the choir, they have to do the same sort of thing. So it's a unique situation.
And it's also unique because you've got the church, and it's very, churches are very, well, horizontal, vertical, more vertical, I guess, because
mm-hmm.
you have vertical sets. Then you have the outdoors, where it's the gypsies, and it's wild, and it's kind of
mm-hmm.
free, and it's not as conservative, it's not as uptight. And so you don't have the holds that you would have constructively. But then you have the emotions that tie it all together
mm-hmm.
through it. So it's
absolutely,
it's quite an amazing combination.
Yeah.
It must be a great palette to work from.
Oh, it's wonderful. And we're, you know, we're very fortunate that, you know, the way this show sort of has bubbled up, you know, the music was written by the same guy who composed the music for the Disney film. So we had the Disney film, and so there's all these wonderful songs that people will recognize from the Disney film if they saw it. And then that composer then went back and then got together with a lyricist, and they decided to flesh this thing out mm-hmm. into a full-fledged stage play. Uh-huh. And so the beauty of that is we have the continuity. So anyone who's seen the Disney film will recognize their favorite three songs from the Disney movie.
And those all of that would, music is three there. Would be?
For instance, like Out There, On Top of the World.
God Help the Outcasts.
God Help the Outcasts. Mm-hmm. Hellfire, even.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, all these seminal numbers that mm-hmm. they would recognize from the show, which are very, very powerful in their own right.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the same style, we have all this other material that's been added in to make a fully realized show. And it's really exciting because it's all from the same guy, so it's got the same flavor, which is really great.
Well, it's going to be an intensive time of a lot of excitement mm-hmm. Building. The cast includes Danielle as Esmeralda, Will played last year.
Jekyll and Hyde.
Jekyll and Hyde. And this year he's once again the villain playing the priest.
Frollo.
Frollo. And tell us a little bit about the who's playing the hunchback.
We are so fortunate to have with us David Tuttle in the role of Quasimodo. And he brings to this character, first off, a wonderful physicality. He's able to literally swing like a monkey from any part of the stage while singing.
Scary.
And he's got a beautiful purity of voice,
wow.
which really represents that wonderful innocence that uh-huh. Quasimodo has. And he brings that to the character beautifully. And his physicalizations are also fantastic in order to fully realize that he's an absolute gem. So vocally, he's a perfect match and blend with Danielle and mm-hmm. with Will, because you know, once you cast from the top, then it influences all the casting decisions trickling down to make the right blend of the right people for this particular production.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've got the absolute right group of people for this wow. particular production to make this work.
A total cast of how many people?
With the 28 in the ensemble and six principals, so you know there's 34 there and then 38 in the ensemble.
Wow.
So we're looking at upwards of 70 folks.
Wow. And great costumes and great amazing
yeah.
choreography and a fantastic, always, I love David Johnston's directing. I absolutely mm-hmm. adore him.
It's wonderful. When you put David's directing with Andre, and it's wonderful because they just look at each other and they kind of finish each other's sentences.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then, and as they're doing that, then all of a sudden they'll just turn by. And by the way, we need, I'm like, I know you need eight measures. You need eight measures. I'll find some. And I'll find some music and I'll stick it in. And that's the beauty of working with such a wonderful team for 4 years in a row now.
Yeah.
We're able to do that on the fly, and,
yeah.
and we really understand where each other is coming from, and it's a great team to work with.
Well, every summer it's an amazing experience. It's something everyone looks forward to and people even come in for. And I really encourage people to call 242-SHOW and get your tickets. And you can go to MauiArts.org. Also, Peter, behind the phone there, he just loves hiding behind his marketing.
This is a great gig. I don't have to say anything.
He's a voyeur. He's a voyeur. So tell me, give me our Facebook and all the social media. Do you have any, where are the social media connections for people to check out, Peter?
So go on to Facebook and look for The Hunchback of Notre Dame, and you'll find our event page. Make sure to say that you're going, because you are, because I say you are.
Right. And it's worth going,
and
believe
it's
me.
Worth going. It's yes. very much worth going to.
Yeah, and it's going to be fantastic, and you'll be able to see, if you're listening, this Facebook Live video there mm-hmm. as well. I want to thank you so much, Danielle.
Thank you so much.
It's so wonderful. I love your energy and your voice, and I can't wait to see you on stage all dressed as a gypsy.
I'm so excited.
I'm a fan of your work, Gary. I think you're fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Although you're not singing, you have also a fantastic voice.
Yes.
Thank you very
and I'm,
much.
If there's ever need of a stand-in, I know you know every single song. I mean, right? So
come like, to a rehearsal.
Come Gary to a rehearsal. I sing all the parts every night. In character. It's kind of a little disturbing.
And Peter, of course, thanks so much for helping to make this all possible.
You're welcome.
Thank
we'll
you.
See you on stage.
Yes.
All
okay.
Right.
Have fun. Have fun.